Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty, in for Vicky Gonzalez. The Tahoe Basin is one of the most beautiful places in California, the world, really, to explore. Being in Tahoe's abundant nature is important not just for leisure, but it's also critical for research. Combining both is what the Tahoe Institute of Natural Science is doing. The nonprofit organization has a long-term goal of bringing a world-class informative nature center and educational facility to the Lake Tahoe area. TINS, TINS for short, works to diligently advance knowledge of the Tahoe Basin's natural history, conservation, and ecosystem, and aims to awaken the public's curiosity and promote responsible environmental citizenship. Will Richardson, co-founder and executive director of the Tahoe Institute for Natural Science, spoke with Insight host Vicky Gonzalez to discuss the organization and its important research.
Well, you co-founded the Tahoe Institute of Natural Science, TINS, back in 2010. What sparked this idea?
Well, so I had been living in Tahoe seasonally for 10 years or so. And when I first got there, 1994, I was just struck by its natural beauty, the terrain, the scenery, but also kind of the juxtaposition of some of the past development against that and all the people, you know. So back then, we thought maybe there were 8 to 10 million visitors a year. And then some clever people took a look at cell phone data and found there was actually 24 million annual visitors coming through. And that was just in 2014. That number's really gone up since COVID. So all of those visitors are looking for some sort of nature experience.
Right.
Even if it's just, you know, that's what brings people to Tahoe. And even if they're just there to ski or even just gamble, I'm sure everyone wants, you know, the context of the scenic backdrop, that a nice look at the lake. And it's very beautiful. But there's no central clearinghouse for information about Tahoe's nature. And 24 million people is I think that's like 2.5 times annual visitation to Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which is our most visited national park. And any national park has a nature center where people can come and learn about where they are and the environment. And so I saw a need for that. Tahoe lacks that. It's a world-class destination. It needs a world-class nature center.
And so that's what you're working to create now.
That's right. So that was the, you know, that's the long-term goal. Beautiful places with incredible natural history often have a nature center like that, where it, you know, a central clearinghouse where you can come get the information to learn about where you are and what makes it so special. So that is our long-term goal, is to have a physical facility. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we've got to just build up our organization and try to get that information out through our programming. So the main three program areas for us are education, with working with kids, mostly in-school field trip programs, summer camps in the summer, and then outreach, taking that education to the rest of the public, mostly through outings. And then we do lots of real conservation-based research in the background that kind of informs all of that education.
In the past 13 years you've been doing this with TINS, the Tahoe Institute for Natural Science, what has been the most rewarding thing about this nonprofit?
I think, looking back, I would say, I mean, we've had lots of, you know, kind of milestone moments, but really just the cumulative impact. Yeah, we're heading into our 14th year, and at the end of last year, I think we'd made more than 65,500 student contacts, which is it's a lot, especially considering that most of those are individual school programs at maybe 25, 30 students at a time. We've done hundreds and hundreds of outings, you know, wildflower walks, bird walks, lots of slideshow presentations on all kinds of topics. We do outings with geology, stargazing, most natural history topics we can cover, and we've been able to reach thousands and thousands of participants through that. And then on the research side, we're really helping to guide land management decisions. Most of the research we do is looking at wildlife responses to certain treatments, like fuel thinning, getting conifers out of aspen stands, stream restoration. And so we're able to look at the wildlife responses of those treatments and then help guide some of those decisions and policies.
Given that you've touched the lives of tens of thousands of students already, and also just adults as well, when you go on your walks and outings, what do people gain from this? What do they tell you after their experience?
Well, just yesterday I was leading a group, co-leading a group. We work with a lot of partners up at Chickadee Ridge on some snowshoeing. Actually,
by Mount Rose.
Up at Mount Rose. Actually, yesterday we were on skis, and I got told that TINS was their absolute favorite group of all the nonprofits. So that's always nice to hear. But you know, I think some of the most rewarding feedback we get is being able to show some of the ecological stories that exist all around us that maybe people aren't aware of. And nature is just full of those. Tahoe in particular, it's extremely rich and diverse. And so if we can connect people to nature in a deeper way, you know, that's always really, really rewarding.
Yeah, given that you've been in the Tahoe Basin for nearly 30 years, what makes the plant and the wildlife so special in the basin?
Well, you've got a few things kind of coming together perfectly there. It's just by its geographic location, you have Great Basin communities, Pacific Slope communities. These are, you know, plant and animal communities. You have the flora and fauna of the Sierra Nevada itself, and then you have some boreal relics that are still hanging on since the last ice age. And so you've got all this diversity kind of all in one place. And then you add in different microclimate factors because of terrain, and the mountains create you know, lots of three-dimensional variation there. And so it's just an incredibly rich and diverse place.
Given that, you know, back in 2014, you said there was, you know, some 24 million visitors to Lake Tahoe, and that has just grown, you know, in recent years. What do you think the most concerning thing is when it comes to, you know, that traffic and that capacity surrounding the Tahoe Basin and the ecology and the environment?
Yeah, COVID really made a lot of people aware of just how important nature exposure was, and even just the ability to get to places that are a little less densely populated. So we saw a huge spike in visitation in 2020. We thought it might be kind of quiet, but it was as busy as ever. And along with that, I think partly because of the stresses of COVID maybe, people weren't always on their best behavior. And so I think just the overall numbers of visitors has increased a lot, and we need to make sure that folks are respecting and treating these environments with the stewardship and care that they need. And so that's a big goal of ours. I mean, the ultimate goal behind our organization is to create and cultivate a community that better understands and therefore appreciates and then hopefully cares for these natural resources. We tend to love what we care about, and we tend to care about what we know about. And so if we can help people to know the context and the what's really going on in the natural world at Tahoe and beyond, then we can all do a better job of taking care of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You also have a pretty cool mascot. It's a really vibrant bird. Can you talk to us about it?
Sure. That's right. It's the Western Tanager. So we chose that for a couple reasons. One, it's just beautiful. But two, it's really striking. And I get known from, you know, among my friends and stuff who may not know me, my professional life in great detail, but people just know that, like, I like birds and they can come to me with their bird questions. So a lot of times people will tell me they saw a bald eagle. And I said, yeah, that's great. We have bald eagles. Yes, good job. I'm happy about that. I want everybody to see bald eagles. But maybe once a year, somebody will come to me and tell me that they saw this exotic, really colorful thing. And it must have been an escaped cage bird. It had, like, it was yellow with black wings and, like, white stripes somewhere and red face. And then, so they're perfectly describing a male Western Tanager. And this is a bird that's actually quite common in Tahoe, but they tend to stick to the canopy. So if you're not looking up, you will miss them. And if you do look up, well, then you might see them quite a bit. And if you learn what they sound like, then you'll hear them everywhere. So this is the kind of thing that it's a real aha moment for people. They say, oh, my gosh, we're surrounded by tanagers. Most birders have that might call it like a trigger bird or something like that, that first bird that they really became aware of just what was around them that they weren't paying attention to. And you look in the field guide, you start to look at all the other stuff that you're not seeing. That opens your eyes. You start to look for those other species and all those other things that you maybe weren't seeing before. And that's the kind of moment that it creates birders. It creates naturalists. And so that's why we chose the tanager. That's what we're hoping to do is open everybody's eyes to the nature that's all around them.
This must never get boring for you.
Never gets boring. You know, it's my favorite part of the job is that I get to spend a lot of time just in nature, either sharing it or by myself, especially with the research side of things. And I see new things all the time. I'm constantly learning. And then that gets me excited, and then I want to share that. Yeah, it's a good job.
What are some upcoming programs that you're excited about?
Well, we have programs year-round. So some of the best ways for your listeners to get involved, I guess it depends what they're interested in. If they've got kids, we do have summer camps that we just opened up registration for. This includes some backpacking camps with the Rim Trail Association, but mostly day camps. So that could be a little harder for some of the listening audience here to participate in. We do have some materials online that they might check out on our website. And then for adults, though, or for, you know, if you want to bring a group up and just check out our calendar, we have tons of mostly free nature outings year-round. Right now, we're doing a lot of snowshoe tours. Next Friday, we're going to head down to Carson Valley and look for raptors. We get a lot of interesting wintering raptors. We do lots of citizen science through the year, so that includes things like bird counts. We have a bald eagle count we coordinate. We coordinate a butterfly count. We have a whole weekend dedicated to dragonflies in the summertime. The citizen science programs, we are trying to collect data, but we're also, a major emphasis of that is learning, exploring, having fun, photography, teaching people about. So, you know, if you don't know your dragonflies, but you're dragonfly curious, look us up and come along. We'll show you all about dragonflies.
Well, Will, thank you so much. It just seems like you have stuff going on year-round for people to enjoy, kids and adults.
Kids and adults, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, check out our website. We would love to help connect you, your friends, your family to Tahoe's nature in a deeper way.
Thank you so much, Will.
All right, thank you.
Will Richardson is the co-founder and executive director of the Tahoe Institute for Natural Science. We provided a link to the Institute on the Insight page. And that's Insight for today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to join the conversation, just email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobas and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minotta. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our engineers are Antonio Muniz and Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Mike Haggerty, and for Vicki Gonzalez, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.